Good evening again. We're going to get back to order. It is 7 o'clock. It's September the 1st, 2022. This is our special call meeting for the board to review options on setting the millage rate. We've already have had our pledge and invocation called to order for a special meeting. We'll ask the clerk to establish the quorum again, please.
Commissioner Blakemore.
Present.
Commissioner Askew.
Here.
Chairman Whitfield.
Present.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Stahl.
Present.
All members are present. We didn't lose anybody. We do have the agenda before us, so we'll ask the board, is there any modifications to our agenda as presented and advertised?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Commissioner Blakemore to approve the agenda as published. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second by Commissioner Hart. Any further discussion or modifications to the agenda? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Okay, the next item on our agenda is for public comments, and this is the time that anyone from the public that would like to come up and speak on any topic. Our first comment section was for the millage only. This can be about the millage, the budget, any other items of, you know, of business. We do ask you to, you do have a limit of 5 minutes. We do try to steer you and ask you to make your comments just about things we can affect in the county. We can't fix the state problems and the national problems and the world problems. So try to, let's talk about things we can have an effect on. But it's your 5 minutes. You can talk about whatever you'd like. But we ask you to use your time wisely. So is there anyone that would like to speak tonight? Yes, sir. Ken, would you like to come back? Please state your name again.
My name is Ken McCurry. As I had mentioned when I spoke a little earlier, that my wife and I have lived in this county for over 40 years. You know, we have been good citizens to the best of our recollection. We have done everything that we needed to do as far as our property is concerned, as far as taxes is concerned. And as I'd mentioned earlier, and I'd like to give you just a bit more information on our neighboring county, Catoosa, has some years back, and I don't know when it started, but they actually removed the school tax completely at the age of 75 for their county residents. And speaking with Shannon just a little earlier this evening, he was unaware of what they did necessarily as far as the details of how they did it. I would like to solicit each and every one of you on this commission to look into that. There's a lot of senior citizens in this county that any little bit of tax, if it's $30, if it's $100, it makes a difference to each and every one of us, especially those that are on fixed incomes. I would like for y'all to make a commitment to look into this to see what might be done. And there was something published, I think, recently that they are now going back to the age of 65, looking at how they can start removing the school tax portion of property taxes beginning at that age. And like I said, already at 75, it's completely gone. Is that something that y'all would be willing to look into and see if y'all might be able to benefit the senior citizens and people that have lived and supported this county for so many years? And now it's an opportunity for y'all to help and to give something back to these people that have supported this county all this length of time. Would y'all do that? Would y'all be willing to do that?
I'll say I already have done that. One of my neighbors asked me to do that, and I did look into it. I talked to Carolyn Walker, and I talked to Terry Gilreath's office about that. And if we did that, I'm not saying we would, not saying we wouldn't, but if we did that, that would take approximately $5 million that the 75 and older are not paying and put that $5 million on people that are younger than 75. So the money would still come in, it would just come from a different age group of people. So I'm not saying I'm for it or against it, I'm just telling you that's my simple explanation on what it would do to the tax.
Well, the money's got to come from somewhere.
That's right.
You know, we understand that. Mm-hmm. But I would certainly, you know, like to hear from any of y'all on what, you know, might be done, and if y'all would be open to checking into exactly, you know, what it might take, and then pursuing that.
Well, that's what it would take. It would take that $5 million divided by the number of taxpayers lower than 65, and it would increase their taxes by that much. Now, how much is that? I couldn't tell you that, but it would obviously decrease your taxes and people over 75, but people under 75, it would drastically increase some of their taxes.
And your neighbor had the same concern that I do about, you know, the...
He was just requesting the same thing to me that you did. Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, I just appreciate it if that's something that y'all would consider. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else that'd like to speak tonight? Okay, we'll move forward then on our agenda. We only have one action item on our agenda tonight, and that is to set the millage. So what's been advertised publicly, put on our website, is a resolution R-034-22, the adoption of the millage rate to be set at 7.2 mils in the unincorporated area and 10.293 in the incorporated area. So that's what's been advertised, and then the appropriate documentation for that is also attached, because it shows on this resolution, you know, what was advertised, what the final was, and how it breaks out in the unincorporated area and the incorporated area. And people many times ask, it's a great question, why is it different? Why is the millage rate different for unincorporated and incorporated? And you'll see on that second page, or the resolution page, the difference is in the insurance rollback. And so your gross millage rate is the same. And in this example, it shows 12.973. And then in the unincorporated, there's a 3.093 mil rollback. And then you have the sales tax rollback that's applied to both. And so that's the difference, is that insurance rollback. And the reason that that is different is the cities also get a rollback, that they roll back their taxes to the city residents. And so the funding for that is just for the unincorporated. We don't get any of the share of that revenue. The cities get that for the city residents. And so that's why that difference is. As we've been having these public hearings, there's been a lot of conversation that we have had with our elected officials, our department heads, and our other government affiliates, as indicated earlier by our district attorney, Chris Arndt, and there's others that we fund portions of their budget. Actually started on this budget process probably about the third week of May, something that I touch almost on a daily basis, working the budget process to try to back in to see what the needs for the operation is of the county, you know, what it takes to provide the services, where we have areas of deficiency, areas that we need to improve services on, and try to find out where that balance is. And it's a very challenging process, because there's a lot of moving targets, and there's always more requests than there are dollars to go around. And I think you'll see that on any government budget. There's always millions of dollars more in requests than what there is actually funding for. And so the goal is to try to find that happy medium. And so you're doing a lot of projections and looking into the future. And one of the most challenging projections is the revenue side. What's the revenue going to be? Because our dependency on property taxes, just for round numbers of discussion, is around $14 million. But our budget needs are north of $30 million. So the property taxes don't even cover 50% of the revenue. So there's a whole lot of other revenue items when you look at the budget, which is online, and it's pretty thick. But you look at all the different revenue items, trying to figure out and project and look at trends. And about every time we think we got it figured out, we get a surprise. And sometimes those surprises are good surprises, revenue's up. But many times the surprises is something comes in lower. Our revenues are very much affected by the economy. So when you see a downturn in the economy, you see revenues will drop because, you know, it's affecting due to a recession or a setback or, you know, a pandemic. There's so many things that affect those revenues. So one example, our sales tax revenues were up during the pandemic, but the court systems were shut down. So there was no money coming in from the court systems. And so, you know, you've got these ebb and flows up and down constantly. So the board, in individual conversations that I've had with them, they've all been great to work with. They've all been very sincere, very dedicated to try to find out what the right answer is and where the budget needs to be, because that drives what the millage rate is, and that drives what every taxpayer that owns property in this county is requested to pay to fulfill those needs. And so when we put out the proposed millage and the proposed budget, that's the work that I'm responsible to do under our Enabling Act as the chairman and CEO. The Enabling Act specifies that the chairman is to present a balanced budget. And that's another thing in this process, you've got to have a budget that's balanced. And so of all the different departments, all your revenues, all your expenses, at the end of the day, you got to come to zero. So you've got to make some decisions, and some of this is subjective, and it's, you know, some opinions is driving some of these things, because you're speculating and projecting what some revenues may be. It's just like when we look at all 69 of our buildings, I've got to project what the natural gas cost is going to be. I've got to project what the electric bills are going to be, the water bills. And then I got to factor in a certain amount of water line breaks, because just in the region we're in and the movement of the earth, we're going to have water line breaks. And I know if you haven't had one, your time's coming. It's your own resident. But we have to project those, because when the county has a water line break, we have to pay those costs of whatever that water is that run out. They don't give us a discount either. So there, as you can see, I hope there's a lot of trying to project what fuel costs are going to be. You know, gasoline fuel cost is another thing that is really hard to do. And I've actually internally on my spreadsheets moved that number internally 2 or 3 times, because I think gas is coming down. Well, no, it's starting back up a little bit. And so when you're trying to project what the gas and fuel cost is going to be over 400 plus vehicles, and, you know, that are running all over the county and providing first response service. And, you know, some of those trucks are in service 24 hours a day if they're, you know, on ready standby. So lots of moving parts. It takes a collaboration. There's no way one single person can put a budget together. It takes input. It takes collaboration. It takes buy-in. And it takes balance of, you know, give and take. You know, you've got to say, you know, tell us what you just absolutely got to have. Tell me what your wish list are. Tell me what your dreams are, you know, and try to, you know, we try to accommodate. And in some departments, you know, we've had deficiency in old vehicles, you know, where vehicles, you know, they look like they're antiques. Some of them are pretty close to that. And, you know, and then that drives up repair costs. And so we've tried to systematically, over the last several years, to replace a few vehicles, because if you're not, when you have a fleet of over 400 vehicles, if you're not replacing a few vehicles every single year, you're behind the eight ball. That also applies with road paving. If you're not paving a few roads every year, and in our case, if we don't stay in an average of about 30 to 40 miles a year, then it's going to take 60, 70, 80 years to pave every road in the county. And so that's what's happened to our county in the past, is so many of these things got laid aside and we got behind with a lot of our facility upkeep and maintenance, vehicles, and our roads especially. So when the board asked me to go back and take another look to see what I could come up with, because we do understand, we hear from people and their concerns of just this inflationary cost in general, you know, where we're still in that 9%+ inflationary costs. We know that affects everybody, but it also affects your local governments, because we have those same costs and utilities and fuel and so forth. And so I went back, spent some time over the weekend, you know, going back through and looking at the trends, looking at the data. And I sent all four of these guys individually a text message on Saturday and said, hey, I think I found a good solution here as an option for them to consider, that would reduce the budget by $547,000 that would be needed. So the request you'll see was for $668,000 round number. So I was able to pull that back where the budget request that I feel like that we need to come up with a balance would be to set the unincorporated millage rate at 6.9 mils. So the proposed was 7.2. This would be bringing that down to 6.9 on the unincorporated. And then on the incorporated area, that would drop that down to 9.993. That would still generate $130,653. That would show an increase of 93% of one, well, 93 basis points, less than 1%. And so when you look at the five-year history, which gives you 6 years' worth of data with the current year, in 2017, basically we were at $14 million of a dependency on the county's property taxes. This would put us at $14,222,000. So if round numbers, over a six-year period, we would have increased the size of the dependency on the property taxes by basically, for conversation, $250,000 over 6 years. And so when you have the consumer price index says since 2018, you know, they're seeing an average of 3.33% of inflation every single year. And this is basically taken in less than a 2% inflation over the entire 6 years combined. So it's puts us in a very lean budget. It's what I personally feel, after all of my due diligence, is where we need to be. We can reduce the original budget by $547,000, still have a dependency of $130,653. Again, the net millage rate on the unincorporated area is 6.9 mils. The incorporated would be 9.993 mils. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion that the board consider adopting this proposal at 6.9 mils and 9.993 mils, and I make that in form of a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll second that motion. I have met with three of the four constitutional officers, some of them are here tonight, and gone over the budgets with them. I met with the DA with you yesterday, went over his budget. I understand it's very challenging to meet what they're trying to meet. I also know that we have $55,000 of state mandated raises that we're having to give in the county. I do want to see the new positions created, and you can do that under this, right? The new position of the road department and maintenance. So I do want to see those positions created. I think we need them. And this does also include the 80 cent raise for employees that we talked about.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, yeah. So all employees would get an 80 cent raise. We'd be able to create the new positions that were outlined. For the road department, IT department, and this would get us in a balanced budget. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, it is a $130,000 increase, and that's a lot of money to everybody. I do struggle with seconding that. But when you look at it per person in Walker County, if you divide $130,000 by the number of citizens in the county, it's less than $2 per citizen per year. So that's, you know, I think it's phenomenal, really, over the six-year period that you've only increased the budget that much. Again, I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor, seconded by Commissioner Hart. Any further discussion of the board? Any comments from the board? Okay, at this time, we'll ask the clerk for a roll call vote on the motion.
Commissioner Blakemore?
No.
Commissioner Askew?
No.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Stoltz?
No.
Okay, that motion fails without support. We have to have three yes votes. It fails on a 3-1 no. Okay. So at this time, we do have to set a millage rate tonight. So do we have a motion from the board on any other options?
I make a motion to That we set the millage rate at 6.8283 and unincorporated 9.9213 incorporated.
Okay, and as I mentioned a while ago, we do have a motion on the floor, but I did give the board some other options per their request. And so I know y'all don't have this information, but we will make this available to you publicly. So what Commissioner Blakemore is making the motion on is to set a lower millage rate than what I was proposing. So what I was proposing in my motion, which failed, was to be at 6.9 mils on the unincorporated. The option that Commissioner Blakemore's made the motion on is to set it at 6.8283 mils. And so when you look at the bottom line, that would reduce the revenue in the county of the dependency of the property taxes. It would reduce us down to a negative $89. So we would receive in $89 less than what we collected or was invoiced out. Don't always collect everything in the first year, but what was invoiced out by the tax commissioner's office, we would be invoicing out $89 less this year than we did last year. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Hang on a second. I appreciate all the work that you've done on this, but I have an elderly grandmother that is wheelchair bound. She cleaned houses till she couldn't walk anymore. She fell and broke her hip. And she is on a fixed income. And I know what this would do to her, if nothing else, other than her sitting and worrying about it. And I see what the effect on the younger families. I mean, yeah, I can go do more and make the money. But I've also left my house. I've got home at 5:30, jump in a shower and leave my house to come here for a commissioner meeting for this county and have a 2 or 3 year old hanging on my leg crying because dad's leaving again. And I'm not supporting that.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for the kind words. So we do have a motion. I'm sorry.
I'm going to second this motion, but I'm going to speak on it just briefly. As we've given kudos and they're well deserved. You've done a phenomenal job at working with the amount of money that we have to supply services to the citizens of Walker County. And probably never again. You know, in our tenure, we were blessed with some other revenue streams that come in with this. With a, you know, we had half of our yearly budget that was given to us through the COVID relief, American relief package, or whatnot. And I do know, Commissioner Hart, you're very, very, very right. If you break it down and divide it through all the citizens, it's very, very, very minimal. But I look at it a little differently. All the citizens aren't affected as much, and we all know
that's
that.
True.
We know that, and I'm not disputing. I'm just stating my point. My position here is that that you know we with our state mandated assessments that came out and hit everybody pretty hard. You know, of course, our school system's done what they felt they needed to do. Just all the way across the board, as Shannon mentioned, even with the fuel bouncing around, commodities bouncing around, and it's just it's an opportunity that we can say and let the citizens see that we did hold firm and did not increase their taxes this year, no matter whether it be a penny, it's not an increase, and I feel like that it's something that we can do to try to help us get through these lean times and hope for better times because we don't know what's going to happen next year. And to try to project it is almost impossible. You're just throwing darts if you think you know what's going to happen in the world in the next year. So I do really appreciate the hard work, the sharpening of the pencil, and I know it's, you know, We need all the funding we can get, but at this time, I will second the motion to hold our tax rate at zero increase.
Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Blakemore. We have a second by Commissioner Askew. Any further discussion of the board on the motion on the floor?
Yes, sir. I would like to interject a few comments, and
I would like to say that our chairman did a wonderful job with working on this millage rate. He worked Saturdays. He took a lot of telephone calls, a lot of emails, was very gracious to work with, and Shannon, you just did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Mr. McCurry, I think you said a lot when you said that the older citizens of our county who have been in this county for many years, I think we need to be sensitive with regard to when we set a millage rate. And I think that's important for our seniors. I think it's important for those younger folks who are struggling to make ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck. $30 could mean a water bill. $30 could mean a tank of gas. And I was really hoping that we could get us at this lower millage rate. And so thank everyone for your input, and thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any additional comments from the board?
Yeah.
Any more statements? Okay, we do have the motion on the floor. I will repeat so everyone will understand. There's been a motion made by Commissioner Blakemore, seconded by Commissioner Askew, where we would set the unincorporated millage rate to 6.8283 mills would be the net millage rate for the unincorporated. The incorporated would be 9.9213 mills, which would result in a net decrease of $89 in revenue, less than what we had last year. So at this time, we'll ask the clerk to call the roll for a vote.
Commissioner Blakemore?
Yes.
Commissioner Askew?
Yes.
Commissioner Hart?
Well, I do support the 6.9, but I'd rather have this than nothing, so yes.
Commissioner Schultz?
Yes.
All right, we do have a unanimous vote, a 4-0 vote, so this passes by the board. And a unanimous vote, if I can say that. Sorry about that. So that was our new item for business. So we do have, again, on our agenda for commissioner comments, so we'll start again with Commissioner Blakemore.
Just appreciate everybody coming out and getting involved. If I can ever help you in any way, feel free to call, text, or email. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Askew.
Like to just thank everybody. Like I said, it's we come in twice a month and try to do the best job that we can and with the information that we have, and it is a hard and very strenuous process, and it's hard on everybody. Shannon puts in a whole lot more hours probably day to day than we do, but I know us district guys put in a lot too. We talk to a lot of people and we try to work hard to help, and so I just appreciate everybody. Like I said, it can get arduous and strenuous sometimes, and it's very emotional sometimes, but we want to try to do what's right for the citizen. Appreciate the input so that it helps us better make decisions. Also, and Mr. Hart's going to have more information on this as well, our Walker County Ag Festival, Mr. Hart.
Yes. I was going
to
mention that.
That's why I'm handing it off to you.
Is it the 16th or the 17th?
It's the 17th from 8:05.
Saturday the 17th,
yes,
at the Ag Center. Yeah, it's a lot put into that. County Ag just worked hard on that. The FFAs have worked hard on that. The 4-H groups worked hard on it. It's a great event. It lasts all day long that day, so take time to get by there. And also the car show is Labor Day.
It's Monday.
The sheriff, Sheriff Wilson works a lot on that. That's Monday, Memorial Day at the
Civic Center,
right. And that's from 8 to 11. So, yeah, try to make that. Robert?
You need to interject?
I did want to just inject one more thing real quick, and I'm sorry to get us out of order there. But I also wanted to give thanks to our staff, that's your support staff, our support staff, but mm-hmm. most especially these guys back here in the office and all our department heads and all that all of you that combined the team. Because it is a team, and I think we've shown that the team's getting stronger and stronger. So I just wanted to thank the support staff as well. It's been a long battle, but we're getting there. So thanks for that as well.
Mr. Stoll?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank everyone for coming tonight. I want to thank all of our county employees for the very hard work and great job that you do. want to thank all you guys as well for making all this come together. Thank you so much. And let me say this, it's such an honor to sit on a board with four other gentlemen and work through this process and come to a resolution and completion. And just want to thank all of y'all for helping out with this. Thank y'all. Thank you, sir.
I would like to spend a little bit more on the car and motorcycle show. I understand you're doing motorcycles now. So that is Monday at the Walker County Civic Center. And I think registration starts about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. Registration, if you're showing a car or motorcycle in the competition, I think registration cuts off about 11. But it goes through the afternoon because they want you to come and eat. Okay, because our good friend Robert Wardlaw will be there again this year with his Lucky IQ Barbecue. And so he takes his proceeds from the barbecue sales and donates those back to the sheriff's office for the Stocking Full of Love. So come hungry and with a few dollars in your pocket and some of the items that they're selling and taking donations as well, I'm sure, always for the Stocking Full of Love, which is where the sheriff's office for many years, which was started by Al Millard. That's the Al Millard Stocking Full of Love, where they go and help families in need to provide Christmas for kids in our county. So it's a great program. It's been around several generations, and it seems like it grows every year, and the needs grow. And so this is one of their big fundraiser events. And so if you don't like barbecue for some reason, still come and hand them a few dollars to go for, you know, giving some kids Christmas. And that's what it's all about. It's just to have a good day. Hopefully the weather will be good, and it'd be there at the Civic Center. All right, at this time on our agendas, to my understanding, there's no need for an executive session.
No,
I understand.
Sir.
Okay, no executive session. All right, so at this time, we'll move for a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
I have a motion by Commissioner Hart. Do we have
a second?
Second by Commissioner Askew. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. The very last thing I see on the note here about forgot, we will not have a meeting next week. Normally we're the second and fourth Thursday of the month. This meeting replaces the meeting next week. So we'll be back on schedule September 22nd, the fourth Thursday of the month, September 22nd, back here at 7 o'clock. Everyone have a good evening. Thank y'all.